So we're continuing our study on godly characteristics. Godly characteristics. How do we develop those characteristics that will bring glory to God, allow God to work through the Holy Spirit to be more Christ-like and to be a good witness and testimony for His name. So I think this is my first. Actually, the first one I had was self-control, and we were snowed out. So I still have that in my back pocket. But thankfully, I have this one, which I've been really blessed to study, and I pray that you would find the same blessing. So, generosity, radical generosity. Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And Amy Carmichael, missionary to India, said, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." Think about that. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So we're going to go into depth about what is she talking about? What is this thought of as a believer, as a believer in Christ, how should I act in the thought of generosity? And I know the quick idea when you think about generosity, you're going to be like, oh man, he's going to talk about money. No, I'm not going to, well, money has a part to do with it, but I'm also going to talk about other things, time, God-given talents, abilities. How do we use it for the Lord? How do we generously, how do we give it unto the Lord? So we're going to look into this, and I'm going to mainly be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. So you could go ahead and turn there. I hope as you're going through these studies, through these Sunday evening ministry times, that you've had opportunity not just to listen, not an opportunity just to sit and just take it in with one ear, but to prayerfully seek the Lord and asking the Lord, is this in my life? Is this characteristic kindness, honesty? Is this in my life? Is it in all facets of my life? Because this is what the Lord is using and developing in us, right? By the power of the Holy Spirit, these characteristics are helping us to be more like Him, right? So whenever we open up the Word, whenever we study the Word, you have to pray. You have to pray and ask the Lord to reveal things. Things that are not right, things that are holding us back. Maybe things that you've learned or seeing bad examples of. And asking the Lord, is this in my spirit? Is this part of my personality that's not right? So I'm going to challenge you in the same way. Prayerfully think about these topics, and especially as we look into generosity. So let me open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to you to ask you for your help, to ask you for your guidance in understanding this topic of generosity, and whether it's in our life or not, or whether we need to pray for you to move in our hearts more, Lord, to make this more of a practical habit that is done more often. Lord, question our lives, Lord, and that we may reveal things that shouldn't be, and we need to, Lord, ask for forgiveness about and to change things, Lord. Help us to understand this word. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity in this free country to study your word openly. Lord, may we not take it for granted, but may we use it for thy glory and thy majesty. Lead us now, Lord, we thank you. In your precious son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So actually, I'm going to ask you guys to do something first, is turn to the back of it. And I'm going to start with some thoughts of verses and quotes first, and then we'll get into the meat of our passage. I put on here a prayer request this week. So you already had two prayer requests. One is Jonathan. Another is Laura. So write that down so you could keep that part of your prayer request. I know Samson's family is still dealing with the flu, so pray for Samson. I know there's others that may be sick also. I think David is sick?
No,
Oh, okay. Caroline has a rash, so pray for her as well. So, and things to be praise about as well. So pray for these things. And I want you guys to really think about prayer. And you could, another prayer request is, pray about these studies, godly characteristics. Is it in your life? So, Proverbs 11:25, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will be himself be watered. So there's, God is telling us something in that Proverbs. Psalms 37:21, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. 37:26, he is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. So in this thought of a godly characteristic, you become a blessing. We're going to talk more about that. Psalms 112, verse 5, it is well with a man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Maybe that's along the lines, John spoke about honesty, right? So maybe that's along lines of honesty. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. So we have these first scriptural thoughts of the plus, the thoughts of generosity, what God wants for a righteous believer, and how there's blessing to that. Blessing unto others as well as blessings to your own spirit, right? So this is a very important characteristic, and we need to understand this because it's used for God's glory. God, the furtherance of the gospel, it's used to be Christ-like to this watching world. Are you generous? Are you generous? If you looked at the mirror, can you say, I'm a generous person? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Let me always start with terminology here. So generous, what does generous, how do we define it? Just do your best. I know I don't have PowerPoint, but it's okay. Generous, showing a readiness to give more of something. A readiness to give more of something. As money or time than is strictly necessary or expected. Showing kindness towards others. So it's a readiness to give more of something, money or time or ability or talents, than is strictly necessary or expected, or to show kindness towards others. I believe Roy hit on this, talking about grace. More grace in our lives. Let's define grace. The free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings, the free and unmerited favor of God. We're going to talk about that. This act of grace, these godly characteristics that we're talking about are acts of grace. I was reading a portion, and you could write this down. It's the disposition of the Spirit in your life, right? The outworking of these characteristics is the disposition of the Spirit in your life, right? How it's actively being worked out. I don't know if we'll get to it, but I wanted to put in hospitable because there's a thought here of hospitality in the study of 3 John. I'm not sure if we'll get to it, but friendly and welcoming to strangers or guests, given to generous and cordial reception of guests. So there's also an idea of generosity of towards others. 3 John, it was also talking not just of people you know, believers you know, but also to strangers. Being generous to others. I'm not sure if we'll get to that one, but study 3 John and you'll get a lot of it. If you know, I'm going to just read the quote and give a second for anyone if you know who said it. Okay, and if I had the candy boys, I would give you candy, but I don't have the candy boys here. First one, you make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. Any guesses? That was Winston Churchill. You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. Next one. Giving is true loving. Giving is true loving. I'll give you the initials, CHS. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, yes. Good, very good. All right. In all my years of service to my Lord, I have discovered a truth that has never failed and has never been compromised. That truth is that it is beyond the realm of possibilities that one has the ability to outgive God. That it is beyond the realm of possibilities that one has the ability to outgive God. Even if I give the whole of my worth to Him, He will find a way to give back to me much more than I gave. CHS again. Okay, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Finally, and this is, I really like this one. It's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. Very famous person from India. I'm not picking these all from India or anything, okay? It's what I found. No, not Gandhi. It's a very famous person. It's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. That was Mother Teresa. That was Mother Teresa, okay? So you have this thought of generosity has to do with the heart, right? Generosity has to do with what is understood internally and then what is reflected outwardly, right? So I want to talk about this in two ways. Generosity is a spiritual act of grace upon others. Again, it's the disposition of the Spirit in your life, right? And how it is acted out. So I want to ask ourselves two questions. Why and how should I give generously? I know you could break that up into two questions, but I'm going to put them together. Why and how should I give generously? What are the rewards of generosity? Now, I'm not here to speak prosperity, okay? But there are rewards that God has promised us in the Scriptures. And it should give us a motivation and encouragement to be more generous with what all the Lord has given unto us. You know, I think about just my own life briefly. My grandfather was a rice farmer in India. He had maybe 2 acres. And I stand before you today because what God has done through my grandfather, who was a believer. And how gracious. I'm here before you all today. God does wonderful, amazing things. And he wants to do that more in our lives. So two questions. Why and how should I give generously? And what are the rewards of generosity? So get your pencils ready. And we're going to look at these two passages in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. And it's a great, great study on generosity in general. The why, the intent, the purpose, and the outward blessings from it. And the outward blessings are kind of interesting when I really started studying this. So let's get into this, and I pray that it'll give you guys some great insight into this. So I'm going to read it a little differently. So follow along in your Bible, because I have to explain it along the way. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. So you hear what he just said? So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. So what is this grace he's talking about? He's talking about giving, right? Generosity, so that this grace will be completed. So I'm going to skip here, turn to chapter 9. I'm going to read the first half of chapter 9 just to give some more understanding to this passage. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. So you understand what's happening here. Paul spoke of the Corinthians and their willingness to give to the Macedonians. And it encouraged them to, out of their poverty, give. So why is Paul writing here again? Well, the Corinthians, they promised, but maybe they were not prepared to give yet, right? He was prepping them to say, hey, you promised this, and it was a great promise. It was used for God's glory. But I implore you to think upon this. Already a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Verse 3, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared. Right? So they had the promise of giving, but Paul was like, oh, are you ready to give? I'm preparing you. I want you to understand this act of grace that you should have. Verse 4 again. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. So Paul is making a really good point here. He's saying, brothers, Corinthians, because of your promise, because of your first thought of, hey, we're going to give, and what were they giving? They were giving to some poor believers in Jerusalem. There was a need in Jerusalem. Can you imagine the first century? And there were believers, right? And the gospel was going further. Can you imagine, as believers, could it be they were losing some of their income? Could it be they were suffering persecution? And there was a great need. So this need was heard of in the churches. And Paul is here speaking to the Corinthians about generosity and the intent behind generosity. What did he say? And be ready as a matter of generosity, verse 5, and not as a grudging obligation. Go back to chapter 8 with me. Chapter 8, I want to read a few more verses. Verse 7 again. But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. See this disposition of the Spirit? Abound in this grace of generosity. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. So you have this mind-blowing thought of Paul teaching them about this act of grace, this generosity, that is a part of a believer's life. It's a godly characteristic to give. And who's the example he brings up? The Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to start with this and say, what is he talking about? Why and how should I give generously? So we need to write down a few points here. So why should we give generosity? First, it's because of the Lord, right? You should give as unto the Lord. Look at verse 5. And not only as we hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. It was this thought that they were so blessed by salvation. They were so blessed to be saved that they gave themselves as unto the Lord first. You know, I want to pause here. Many, many believers, they give out of their mind because they think upon the grace that was bestowed upon them. The unlimited amount of grace that God, we spoke about it at the Lord's Supper. They first gave themselves unto the Lord. Macedonians didn't hear the Corinthians and say, oh, I'm going to one-up them. It's because of what they did, I'm going to one-up them. No. They heard of a need. They heard that the Corinthians were doing something and they wanted to be a part of God's work. And they first gave themselves to the Lord. They submitted to the Lord. They yielded unto the Lord. And they said, all that I have, whatever, Lord, you may want, take it. What do we read in Acts chapter 2? They sold their possessions, right? Acts chapter 2, they sold their possessions and gave as unto need, unto the needs. They first gave themselves unto the Lord. Another thought here, why and how I should give generously is, I should give from the abundance of my heart and means, not out of debt to ease another burden, but to give proportionately and properly as how the Lord has blessed you. Verse 12 through 15, for if there is at first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. Why and how I should give? I should give because I have been blessed with a lot, right? You know, that picture on the front of this is hands wide open, right? Hands wide open. What does this world show us? The world shows us, I'm going to clench my fist with whatever I get. I'm going to move on in this life just trying to grab, 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 grab. Whereas the believer is, I'm going to give out of the abundance of my heart what the Lord has given me. See, the Macedonians, what does verse 2 say? That in great trial of affliction, but in the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded in their riches of liberality. You see what they're saying? They're saying they saw their poverty, but they heard of a need. They heard of how I can be used, and out of what the Lord has blessed them, they wanted to give, and to give generously. To give, this thought here is to give proportionately, to give properly, as unto what the Lord has given you. It was amazing. As I was growing up, I watched my parents. They're dear believers. My father was actually the first person out of his village to leave and come to America. And they're about to have a 100-year anniversary this coming summer. So they're asking him to come back. But I was amazed to watch, because I was in an Indian church, Indian Assembly, their love. They were very grateful for being in the U.S., but they had this sense in Assembly, in church life always, of offering back to the work in India. Because it was such a hard area for Christianity, for the gospel work. And it was always a sense of, okay, the Lord has blessed us, all right, we got to send more help back. You think about missionaries. You think about those and how they live and the difficulties they have on the mission field. The Lord's work depends on this act of grace in believers' lives around the world. That out of, like the Macedonians, out of their great poverty, but their joy of salvation and abundance of life. You see that the intent of the heart? They gave freely. What's another thought here? I wrote down here, from the heart, a willingness to give unto God and to give cheerfully. To give cheerfully, with an eagerness, with a desire, with a willingness to continue to give. flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Just because of time, we can't read the whole chapters, but we could touch on them as I hit on these points. Chapter 9, verse 6 through 9. But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. That's a real the point of the matter here. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. There has to be a pure, authentic desire in the heart to give unto the Lord. Not as unto a show, right? Not as unto, I'm going to one-up someone. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful, cheerful giver. Eagerness, a desire to help. You know, when I was here in Raleigh studying in the Bible school, I was a very poor student. Not poor meaning poor in studies. I was just poor. Okay, I was paying for Bible school. My parents were helping me also, but my everyday desires, my means, I was just living. But I was also doing the youth ministry at Northridge, and I wasn't officially supported. But can I tell you, I was supported. I was supported by the prayer of the saints. And I can't count on two hands how many times I randomly gotten gifts. I know Jonathan on the missionary field. I know other missionaries. That desire, the cheerful giver will give as unto the Lord with an eagerness to please his will. And there was a pleasing to do Lord's work in giving. I love those words. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Have you ever thought about a need and prayed about it? Not your own need. You saw a random need in the body here, or even of a family member or a friend or a neighbor. Have you ever prayed and felt the Lord leading you to give? Don't stop that. It's a disposition of the Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit working in us to teach us more about Christ-centeredness, Christ living. And that's what this is teaching us, generosity. Why and how should I give? Well, purposing in the heart, eagerly, cheerfully giving unto the Lord. Something to challenge us with. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. A little side thought here, but goes right along with what we're studying. It's a very familiar story, and I know one that you guys all know. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which made a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow, has put in more than all those who has given to the treasury. Why would the Lord be, was he looking at the mites or was he looking at her heart? Out of the means that she could give, what was the Lord looking at? The heart, right? The purpose of the heart. The eagerness, the willingness to give. Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. What a thought, what a thought. From the heart, a willingness to give and give as unto the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? I've challenged Ruba and I challenged Ruba. I think I shared this story with you all, but Johnny Gordon shared a message about, I think, generosity or giving. I can't remember. But it was like after the first year of marriage. And I think I was the only one working. Ruba wasn't working yet. But I looked at Reuben. I was like, wow, what a message. I felt the weight of the Holy Spirit heavy on my heart. And I was like, Reuben, if we want to be glorifying to Christ in our family life, let's get it straight now. Let's give as unto the Lord. And we made that a challenge every year. We sit down and we challenge ourselves every year to give. Not to, again, give grudgingly or like, oh my goodness, oh, I could be saving more, I could be doing. What would the Lord call us to? A cheerful giver, willingness to give unto God. First a desire and then an eagerness to give. Again, I challenge you, have you prayed about this? Have you prayed about this? I want to bring up one additional point before we get to our second question. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's the point, and we're going to read the verses. We give in spite of our circumstances. We give in spite of our circumstances. Giving in faith, giving joyfully, giving cheerfully, and giving liberally. Chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we make it known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Despite our circumstances, and also with the qualification, we don't give out to become debt, right? Because we heard that, right? Let's start with verse 12. For if there's a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. Right? Don't neglect your responsibilities. Don't neglect. But an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. So I think there's a thought here, and we give. I think this is just a thought, and I know you guys take it and mull it over. I think we save a little too much for the rainy day. I know that may be a question, and we could have a further discussion, but a lot of us, we will always want to be financially sound, right? And it's okay. It's okay to take care of your responsibilities and to have some savings. But sometimes I think we need to think about our circumstance compared to others. You know, I think it was pressing on Jonathan and I when we heard of the Fergusons and they didn't have a house yet. You know, and there was a need there for a house. You know, there was a pressing need. You know, and we went over there, and we were, as a church, we were like, all right, we got to get them into a house. You know, there's in spite of some of our circumstances, we have to move on things. As the leading of the Holy Spirit and as we prayerfully move forward, let's do it. Let's think about generosity as this act of grace and the Spirit leading and move. I think that's what the Lord has called us to. This is the example of the Macedonians, right? Out of great affliction and their poverty, they gave. And today we hear of their testimony. What a testimony. I've been reading, I just finished up David Livingstone's biography. Blown away, absolutely blown away. I shared it with some of you. I actually came to the end of it, and I listened to a lot of books. And I was going through the YWAM biography of David Livingstone. And I was in the car, and they were talking about how he died. And the Africans wrapped him up in tree bark, and they actually buried his, this is probably too much information, but they buried his organs in Africa, and they brought his body back. I was at the verge of tears at what an amazing life. And I say all that because there's an illustration of generosity in his life. They say this man traveled in a, I don't know if someone wants to correct me, over 40,000 miles on foot in Africa. Do you know on his expeditions he was close to no money? And he had to travel by oxen and by wagon. And there was a distinct part in his story, and I can't remember their names. There was two British guys that he met as they were going on expeditions through Africa. And he was sharing his missionary call to open up the dark continent, open up Africa to the gospel. And these guys were grabbed. Their attention was grabbed by David Livingstone. They saw his plight. He had no money. London Missionary Society was giving him maybe 100 pounds, I don't remember, 100 or 50 pounds a year. These expeditions had 24 oxen. They had wagons moving through Africa, no roads. So he shares this thought with these two British guys. And they pay in totality two of the expeditions. Not only that, when his wife and his kids, he decides to send them back to Scotland, I think. They pay for the trip back from Kurdeman, I think that's the name of the station, down back to South Africa. They paid for that expedition. And they looked at this family, and they were in rags living in Africa. They bought him a whole set of new clothes and paid for the whole trip back to Scotland. What did David Livingstone think? God, this is all you. Out of the love of God of what these two men did, he was blessed. You see the generosity there? You see the giving there? He was blessed, and this is how blessings are given. Oh, if we would think about generosity a little bit more. Let's go to this second question. My time is running out. What are the rewards of generosity? So we looked at the why and how should I give generously, the intent of the heart, not grudgingly, not by obligation, but cheerfully, eagerly we give. But what are the rewards of generosity? What are the encouragements here? What are the motivations? Look with me. We're going to be in chapter 9 mainly now. Here's something I wrote here. Here's the first thought. Verse 1 through 5 of chapter 9. Your giving will provoke others to give. Now concerning the ministry, verse 1 of chapter 9. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians. He boasted of the Corinthians, right? He boasted because they promised to give, that Achaia was ready a year ago. And your zeal has stirred up the majority. So as we give, our motivation to give, it will act upon others and motivate others to do the same. Not as competition, but as a grace of God to give as unto the Lord. Have we thought about that? Giving will provoke others to give. Let me move to the next one. The next thought, your giving will bless you. Your giving will bless you. Verse 6 through 11. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Giving will bless you. Now, I'm not speaking about prosperity doctrine, right? But does that mean God will not prosper you? No. God could prosper you. God could prosper your business. God could prosper your job. God, you can't limit God. God can do above and more than we can even imagine. What does it say in Isaiah 55? His thoughts are not our thoughts. So he can bless us even beyond our thinking. Can I tell you, as a young student, and when I was given an anonymous letter with a check in it, first thing I did was, Lord, you know all things. And I was blessed because someone else was generous. Someone was moved by the heart to give. What we've read some prayer requests, missionary prayer requests on Thursday nights, and Roy or Jonathan or one of us or a brother would say, hey, we need to help that person out. What a blessing to give as the Lord has given unto us. It blesses the missionary. It blesses us to be allowed to be a tool of God. Giving will bless you. Proverbs 11:24. You don't have to turn there. It says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Filter out the prosperity doctrine. I'm not saying that's give, and then just wait, rake it all in. No, God could work that way, but that's not what we're talking about. He will bless your lives. He will bless your heart. He will bless your love and fellowship amongst the brethren. Giving will bless you. Here's the next thought. I wrote this down. Your giving will meet needs. And we read that, verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. He will supply. Giving meets needs. Can we get out of our own lives? Can we get out of our own selfishness and meet the needs of someone else? I've seen it even amongst our brethren. I'm happy to see it, where you saw a need and you went and was there for somebody. It was great to see the stream of visitors that for Jonathan. Giving meets needs. We as believers, we as the body of Christ, should be the first and foremost. I think, this is just a side note, but the Western world, and people say it's the Christianic world, has the most giving, what do you call it? Philanthropy. I think it's part of that Christianity and the influence of Christianity, but it's the heart of giving, right? It's the heart of giving. Giving meets needs. Let's look at the next one. Verse 13. Let's read it, and then I'll say what it is. Verse 13 of chapter 9. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. While through the proof of this ministry, think about these words, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Giving, your giving will glorify God. Will glorify God. And the name of Christ will be lifted up. I give so that Christ may be magnified. His name will be magnified. This should be our purpose, right? I wouldn't hide it. I would tell you, I give because I believe, I'm a believer in Christ. I give because God has given unto me. He has saved my soul. Therefore, I should not hold on, pull out all the stops and give to glorify God. Do you glorify God in your checkbook? That's something Johnny, I remember Johnny Gordon, he's the a speaker at Northridge. He's like, you know where a good place to start? And he's talking about money. And I'm talking in some other categories, but he says, have you ever looked at your checkbook? And can you say, I glorify God in my checkbook? Giving will glorify God. It's a mind shift, right? It's a mind, oh, we got to get this right. Something to think about. Glorifying God. Lastly, I want to close with these thoughts, and I know my time is gone. Verse 14 and 15 of chapter 9. And by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let me read verse 14 again. Actually, I'm going to go back to the last half of 13. And for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So he's bringing up an idea of sharing, right? Now I want to pause and think, who are they sharing with? What was the need? Who was the need for? Here's a quiz question. Who is this great need for? No, not Macedonia. Who was the Macedonian and Corinthians? Jerusalem. It was the poor, it was the needy of Jerusalem, right? So here's the thought. Who had the most difficulty of the Gentiles being saved? The Jews, the Jewish believers, right? And what a great thought here that Paul is saying, you Macedonians, you Corinthians, you Gentiles are creating this offering, this generous, this act of grace for those Jewish believers. My last thought, your giving will unite God's people. And it unites, it brings unity to God's people. One heart, one cause, one purpose, all to glorify God, and the body of Christ comes together. I remember there was needs in India where every Sunday we would hear, this assembly has been planted, but they don't have a hall. They don't have a hall. They don't have somewhere to meet. Or they're meeting in the missionary's house, which can only handle 30, and there's 100 believers. So what would happen? The believers in the church and the churches in the tri-state area would create a fund, or they would send money over. What a thought of sharing. Unity among the believers. You see the reward there? The body of Christ is working together. Oh, if there was more unity in this thought. The unity of Christ, the unity God giving, it's a reward. Your giving will unite God's people. We don't have time for 3 John, but look at that on your own. But it's the idea of hospitality and being generous in hospitality and giving. So here's my closing thoughts. What is living generously? Living generously is glorifying God, using your God-given ability to help those in need, or glorifying God where your time, money, and talents come together to meet needs of others. And I also wrote here, it's something that you could practice all year long, not just at Christmas time. Not just at holidays or at the end of year giving, right? It's a constant thought. It's a daily thought. It's something we need to think about. Winston Churchill, again, that his quote, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. Another quote here. Henry Drummond says, the most obvious lesson in Christ's teaching is that there is no happiness in having or getting anything, but only in giving. So think about this godly characteristic of generosity. It's an act of grace, a disposition of the Spirit. Prayerfully think about these godly characteristics and go to prayer. Go to your knees. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your spouse and ask, what do you think? What do you think about this? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the greatest giver. You are the Heavenly Father that has given us all your most precious gift, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let that be the measure of our giving. Lord, we thank you for our lives. We thank you for how you have saved us. And if there are some that are not saved here, Lord, may they today come to you and place their faith in you and accept your free gift of salvation. Lord, but we thank you for all that you've given unto us, Lord. May we think upon this act of grace, of generosity, and living generously. Lord, and may we, Lord, maybe have to question all the material things that we have and the material things that we may want. Lord, and just, or just compare it to what you have called us to, our mission, our purpose to glorify God. Lord, as a body, as Western Wake Bible Chapel, Lord, may we be pressed upon this subject, Lord. May we be thought of as a giving chapel, a giving group of believers that we don't hold anything back, Lord, but all for thy glory. May we do things appropriately, proportionately, Lord, and all for thy glory. Lord, we thank you again. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. May you receive all the honor, glory, and praise. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.